Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
I hope that you gain value from the word of the Lord. Psalm 147, verse 3. God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Aren't you thankful for that? I'm going to talk this morning about this subject, how God heals our hidden wounds. And I'm going to need probably 35, 40 minutes of your time, and I ask you that you stay focused and let's just gain value from the word of the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. How many of you, by the lifting of your hands, you've ever had a broken bone? Let me see your hand. Wow. How many of you have ever had stitches before? Okay. How many's ever had surgery? Good night. How many's ever been shot? Serious, I'm going to see. How many of you have ever been shot? You serious? One, two, three, four? We got five people's been shot? What kind of church are we? That's just joking. How many's ever had a knife wound? Good night. We got a bunch of... Woo! Maybe I better start packing here when I come to church. For all you watching online, these are some very sweet people. I think I recall the scripture that Paul said, and such were some of you, but now you have been washed, sanctified, justified, and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Wow, I wasn't expecting that. Well, I did have a terrible accident in my early life that required a lot of stitches, and I won't get into that because there's several of you that have queasy stomachs, and I wouldn't want you to have to walk out. But we do know what it's like, as you can see with all the show of hands, we do know what it's like to have physical wounds. And most likely everyone in here has had some type of physical wound. But today I want to talk about how that God heals our hidden wounds. And hidden wounds are memories. Hidden wounds are memories that still hurt. You get it? Memories of abandonment. If you've ever been abandoned, you don't forget that. Memories of severe criticism. Some of you may have experienced some type of racism or some type of prejudice. You may have experienced some type of hatred or abuse. So where do the wounds of life come from? Well, they come from everywhere. They come from our family, our friends, our neighbors. They come from authority figures. I'm sad to tell you this, but they come from pastors and preachers and evangelists and leaders. They come from community people. They come from everywhere. Why is that? Because there's sin in the world, and because there's sin, people abuse people. You say, what's wrong with our world? I'm not a very bright person, but I can answer that. There's one word. It's called S-I-N. And that's what's wrong with our world. That's why relationships are broken. That's why the weather is broken. That's why everything is broken, is because of one word. It's called S-I-N. Are you with me? So we can get wounds from any place. We can get them from our family, from our home, from the workplace. They're everywhere. And I've learned two truths about life. And one is everyone in this room has a hidden wound, at least one. An emotional scar from someone in your past who has hurt you in some serious way. And the other thing that I have found out is this, and that is physical wounds can heal much quicker than emotional wounds. I was involved in a situation back in Cleveland, Texas, where my pastor with my father of a lady who was physically abused by her husband. He really whipped up on her. And probably 6-8 weeks later, you know, the swelling started going down. Her body started healing from the physical wound. But I'm going to tell you, years and years later, that lady carried emotional scars from that beating and multiple beatings. So I found out that we can recover quickly, fairly quickly from a physical wound, but many times we take emotional scars with us. You say, Pastor, I don't know if I believe that. Well, talk to someone who's gone to war. And if you talk to any man or woman that's gone to war, they come back and they're physically healed of their wounds, but not emotionally. And many times it literally drives some actually insane because of what they have seen and the emotional scars that they have endured in the times of war. Now, that's all bad news. The good news is this, that Jesus didn't just go to Calvary just to heal us of our physical wounds. He also went to Calvary to heal us of all of our deep emotional wounds. Can I get a witness? And so the Lord wants to heal us this morning, not only physically, but also emotionally. And we can start that process this morning. And that's what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes. In the Bible, God gives many different names of who He is. For example, He revealed Himself to Abraham as Jehovah Jireh, I will provide an offering. In the book of Exodus, chapter 15, verse 12, He again revealed Himself as I am Jehovah Rapha, the God that healeth thee. And again, this is not just a God that can heal a scrape or a scratch. This is a God that can heal a broken heart. Jesus, when He came on the scene in the New Testament, He said this, I have come to heal the brokenhearted. And can I tell you that no matter how advanced technology gets, it's going to continue to advance. It's going to continue to blow our minds some of the things that they're going to be able to come out with to help mankind. I can promise you this, they're never going to come out with a pill that can heal a broken heart. Will not happen. No matter how far advanced we get, it will not happen because there's only one that can heal a broken heart, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, how can He do that? I'd like for all of my hidden wounds to be healed. Well, we're going to look at the steps to being healed this morning. Here's the first step, and that is you've got to, and I've got to, reveal our hurts. We're never going to get well as long as we take our feelings and we stuff them emotionally. The Bible talks about stuffing our emotions and just trying to put them down. That is the opposite of what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us to cast our cares upon Him because He cares for us. Can I get a witness? I used to think that casting meant like you throw a rod in fishing. It doesn't mean that. It actually means to drop it. Where do I drop my emotional hurts? There's one place. You don't drop it at a pharmacy. You drop it at the cross. You have to leave it there at the cross. Here's what Psalm 39 in verse 2 and 3 said. I kept very quiet, but I became even more upset. I became very angry inside. As I thought about it, my anger burned. What does that mean? Here's what that means. If you break it down, it means that to hold on to hurts inside is like carrying hot coals inside yourself. You're going to get burned. And guess what? You're the only one that is getting burned when you carry around a bunch of anger and a bunch of hurt. You're the one getting burned for it. Does that make sense? Because when we stuff our wounds down, brothers and sisters, and we've all had them, we're not healing by stuffing it down. You know what happens? It begins to fester. We understand this on a physical side. If we have a deep gash in our arm, we know one of the most important things to do is go to the doctor, and they're going to have to clean it out. And when they clean it out, it's going to burn like the dickens. But if they don't clean it out, then it's actually, and you say, you know what, don't mess with that because it feels halfway decent right now. Well, it could feel halfway decent, but if you've got all kind of debris and dirt in it, then you're actually going to hurt yourself down the road because now it's going to get infected and you could actually, if worse comes to worse, lose your arm. But what we say when it comes to emotional things is, you know what, it's not that big of a deal. It happened 10 years ago. Who cares? And we stuff it. And if you did that for a physical wound, you could actually lose an arm. And if you do that emotionally, what's going to happen is you're going to continue to get angry. Anger is going to build up inside, and it's going to be like you're carrying these hot coals, and nobody can do anything right because you're always angry because you didn't deal with the emotional problem. Did that just make sense? Okay, now some people try to respond like to abuse by just forgetting it, out of sight, out of mind. Some people try to run from it. Some people try to ignore it. Some people try to pass it off as that's their problem and they blame others. Some people try to cover up their abuse, like they feel guilty about what happened to them, even though they didn't want it to happen. They still carry all this shame and this guilt because we think it's our fault. I don't want to lose you this morning. This is a very sensitive subject. I want to try to help someone. When you do all of that that I just said, none of that works. None of it works. Step number one is you got to get honest with your pain. I want you to talk back to me now. Say, I got to get honest. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to get honest. That is one of the hardest things for a human being to do is to get honest. You got to get honest about your pain, about your fear, about your anger. You got to get honest about what people did to you. See, all pain normally stems from loss. What do you mean by that? I lost a spouse. I lost a friend. I lost a job. I lost money. I lost a house. I lost my innocence. Most pain stems from a loss. And when we have a loss, there is a lot of anger there. See, you don't enjoy a gain as much as you hate a loss. What do you mean by that? You'll go out and you will invest $20 in some Reese's, a Coke, and some peanuts and think nothing about $20 going for that. But if you lose $20, you'll search 2 hours looking for it. Is that the truth? That is the truth. You know why? Because we don't enjoy a gain. In other words, we don't enjoy the Reese's and the Coke as much as we hate losing $20. We don't mind in spending it. We hate losing it. And that's why when we've had loss, no matter what that loss is, that loss can make us feel angry. Because if you wouldn't have done this, I wouldn't be without my house. And if you wouldn't have been such an idiot, we could still be together. And if you wouldn't have stole my money, I would have had that to pay this bill. And it all comes from loss. It's something that's been taken from us that we don't feel like should have been taken from us. Does that just make sense? And yet you got to get honest. You got to get honest in order to start revealing your hurts. You got to get honest. Who do you got to get honest with? 3 different people. Okay? You got to get honest with 3 different people. First, you got to get honest with yourself. And you got to own up and say, you know what? This does hurt. You're not Superman. Quit acting like it. Superman is a fictional character. He does not exist and you're not him. And I'm not trying to be ugly. But if you want to heal your emotional wounds, you got to get honest with 3 people. And the first one is yourself. And you may say, you know what? I'm ashamed of this and I still hurt over this. But I got to get honest. They hurt me. Number 2, you got to get honest with God. Because God already knows how you feel anyway. It blows my mind that people think they're hiding something from God. It's like he doesn't know. Get honest with him. When my mom passed away in 99, I was angry. I told God, I'm mad. I'm mad at you. I'm angry at you. I don't understand this. I got angry with God. But that's part of the healing process. It's okay. He can handle that. You need to get honest with him. Tell him truly how you feel. And then the third person that you need to get honest with is at least one person that you can trust. Every person needs one person that you can trust. You need somebody with skin and bones. And if you say, Pastor, I don't have anybody I can trust, that's very unfortunate, and I'm very sad that that's how you feel. But if that's truly how you feel, then pay a licensed Christian counselor so you can go and you can talk this out, because this is what James 5, and I believe it is verse 16 says, confess your faults to one another that you may be healed. Ladies and gentlemen, please stay focused with me this morning. Only God can forgive sins. Man can't forgive sins. Only God can, because he's the one who went to Calvary for you. But if you want to get healed, that verse says, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. How does healing come? It first comes when you get honest with yourself, you get honest with God, and then you get honest with at least one other person. Why does it work that way? I don't know all the psychological reasons that it works, but I do know it works, because you're only as sick as your secrets. That's what I know. You're only as sick as your secrets. And when you get your secrets out, the devil no longer has any ammunition to keep beating you over the head. Now you have gotten honest with yourself, you've gotten honest with God, and you've gotten honest at least with one other person. And what you're able to do, instead of stuffing it, think about a Coke. When you take a Coke that's under pressure and you shake it, now what happens? That thing's ready to explode. That's where a lot of people are at. They're like a Coke under pressure. Why? Because they just stuffed it down and stuffed it down and stuffed it down. Instead of getting honest and casting it and talking about it and releasing it, they keep stuffing it down. And then you come by and say the wrong thing, and all of a sudden this huge volcano erupts out of them. And you're like, my God. It wasn't that. It wasn't just you saying the wrong thing. This has been ongoing here of stuffing it down. Does that make sense? The Bible says this in the book of Job, chapter 18 and verse 4. You who tear yourself in anger. You who tear yourself in anger. In other words, you are the only ones hurting yourself with your anger. You're hurting yourself and you're hurting others. When you stuff it down, you're only hurting yourself. And if you don't have somebody to trust, find somebody that you can trust. Because you're never going to heal. Get this. You're never going to heal until you start to reveal. Healing starts coming when you start revealing. Here's step number two. You have to release those who have hurt us. You have to release those. Well, as long as we have harbor resentment, we're not going to get well. For your own sake, you got to release those who have hurt you. And you know, one of the things that we want to do is we want to get even. Lean into this. This is going to be worth your time this morning. One of the most difficult decisions that we're going to have to decide in life is this. Do I want to get well or do I want to get even? Because you can't have both. I'm going to say it again. It's worth repeating. Do you want to get well or do you want to get even? Because you can't have both. Here's the secret. Getting even will still not take care of your pain. I've had people that have tried to get even, and guess what? It still didn't satisfy them like they thought it was going to. It didn't solve their problem. There's only one way, brothers and sisters, and that is forgiveness. You say, they don't deserve my forgiveness. I didn't say they did. You're right. They don't deserve it. But check this out. Neither do we deserve to be forgiven by God. Remember that. You say, they don't deserve it. Well, you don't deserve to be forgiven by God. If God gave you what you deserve and what I deserve, we wouldn't be here this morning. Are y'all with me? I'm not saying forgive them because they deserve it. I'm saying forgive that person, because if we don't, that person is still controlling our life. And you know what's so funny is people say, well, I want to be in control and I'm going to control my own life. Let me tell you something. You're fooling yourself as long as you don't forgive that person, because it may have happened 20 years ago, but they're still controlling and manipulating you because you didn't feel like they deserved your forgiveness. And yet you want to be in control. If you want to be in control, one of the greatest things you can do is forgive. How do I know that? Because your Heavenly Father, when He was on the cross, you know what He could have done? He could have called 10,000 legions of angels to come, and He could have torched all of His haters. Y'all, pardon me, I just have a vivid imagination here this morning. Jesus could have actually healed Himself on the cross, came down on the cross, showed Himself, slapped Him a couple times, got back up on the cross, bled all over again, came back down, healed Himself, slapped Him a couple times, got back up there and said, how many times do you want me to do it? Right? Could He? Sure He could have. One of the hardest things, I think, is not for Him to actually go to the cross. It's for Him to stay on it. I think it took more power of Christ to stay on the cross when they're down there taunting the Son of God. It's like, I made you, sucker. I ought to take you in the next week. And they're taunting Him. I need to slow down. This guy's taunting Christ, saying, if you be the Son of God, save yourself. And Christ could have said, I made you, sucker. What do you mean if I be? I'm the one who created you and put breath in your lungs. You see what I'm saying? See, what you want to do is that's flesh. That's what flesh wants to do. I'll take you out. I'll show you. Jesus didn't do that. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm going to tell you something. I may be wrong. I've been wrong before, unfortunately. But I don't believe Jesus would have ever got out of that grave if He wouldn't have said that. Why? Because hurt holds you down. And it will always hold you back. And it will always start decaying your insides. Because you don't have freedom. Because this is what the scripture says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And what you have to do, is you have to get somewhere where you understand, you know what? God sees every one of my hurts. He sees every one of my tears. He knows exactly what I've been through. And you know what? I'm just going to forgive them and release them, because I don't want them controlling my life. I don't want to be thinking about them all the time. I'm going to go on and live my life, and I'm going to let God settle that score. I'm not going to try to get revenge. Is this making sense? Because you cannot hold on to a hurt and enjoy your life at the same time. Can't do it. Look at what Psalm 56 and 8 says. It says, put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? Did you know that was in the Bible? What does that mean? It means that every tear you shed, God's put it in a bottle and He actually wrote it down. In your Bible, every tear of hurt, anger, and frustration, all of those tears, He's bottled them up. He remembers everything that every person has done to you that is wrong, and He keeps a perfect record. And brothers and sisters, God is a God of justice. And let me just tell you something. The day is coming where God is going to stand before every person, and He's going to settle the score. Yes, He is. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. And people are going to have to give an account. And every tear that you have shed, God's bottled it up. All of it is written in His book. And so that's how you can go on with your life, knowing, you know what, that I may not find all the justice I want in this life, but I'm telling you, God is going to serve justice in the next one. And the score is going to be settled. And I know that if God be for me, then who can be against me? I'm going to let Him take care of that. They're not going to control me. I'm going to go on and live my life. Am I helping anybody this morning? So you got to realize Jesus certainly understands abuse. He had six physical wounds in his life. He had a head wound. He had hand wounds. He had feet wounds. He had a wound in his side. He had wounds on his back, so he knows that. But check this out. Not only did he suffer six different physical wounds, but he had emotional wounds. His very best friend who said, "Lord, I'll never deny you. I'll do whatever," winds up three times saying, "I don't even know the man." Are you serious? We don't know what is in us until the pressure's on us. We can all think, man, I'm all that in a bag of chips. You don't know. Be careful, ladies and gentlemen, what you say you will do. Be careful, because you don't know. Oh, I never do that. I've heard preachers say, "I never do that." I said, you better watch your mouth, buddy. You better be careful there, because you don't know what you would do. You hope you would do that. But until the pressure's on, you don't know. And that's why God allows us to go through trials. Because when life squeezes us, it shows us what's truly on the inside of us. I believe with all of my heart that Peter never saw that in him. I don't think he saw that in him. But the Lord allowed him to go through that so he could see, Peter, this is really what's in you. This is what's in you. And then he realized, he went away and wept bitterly, because he understood, I've just denied the most precious man and my greatest friend in the world. Does that make sense? So Jesus knew. He knew the hidden wounds. He knew betrayal. He knew abuse. He knew what it was like to be rejected in his own hometown. His own brothers didn't believe in him, the scripture tells us. The elders didn't believe in him. His own hometown didn't believe in him. You know what a big shot is? A big shot's only a little shot far away from home. And when Jesus wasn't in his hometown, when he wasn't in his hometown, he could do great things. When he got to his hometown, he couldn't do many mighty works because they didn't believe in him. He knew what it was like. Does that make sense? So why should we forgive those who hurt us? Number one, God has forgiven us. Here's the second reason, is because guess what? We're going to need more forgiveness. We're going to need more forgiveness. And then number three, it's the only way. Say, it's the only way. It's the only way to get well. There is no other way. It's the only way to get well. Look at Hebrews 12 and 15. But while you're turning there, I'm going to pause here just a minute. You know what I think? I think that the American people are infatuated with appeal. Because if you watch much TV, that's just about, there's beer commercials and there's pill commercials and car commercials, and that's about it. And it's crazy to me that you take a pill for this, but your brains fall out. The side effects is your brains are going to fall out. Your gut's going to rot. You're going to have migraines the rest of your life. But here's the deal. Here's what blows my mind. A person would rather take a pill and to try to overcome than to do one thing. Get honest. And ask for forgiveness. Medical doctors will tell you there is probably 50% of patients in hospitals today, they could get up and walk out of there if they would forgive. But because they will not forgive and they've stuffed it and stuffed it, now they got migraines, they got ulcers, they got all kinds of problems. And if you have that, I'm not saying you have those symptoms because you're not forgiving. I'm saying that's a lot of the symptoms that people have because they've stuffed it. And it was never meant. He said to cast all your cares upon him. Is this helping anybody? Okay, here's the third thing. If you want to heal your inner wounds, here's the third thing that you and I have to do. We have to replace old tapes with God's truth. Say that with me. Say, replace old tapes with God's truth. See, your brain is like a tape recorder, especially when you're young. Your brain records the good, the bad, the true, and the false. It records all of it. But here's the problem, especially when you're young, your brain doesn't distinguish between what's right and what's wrong, between true and false. And then when you hear something, you act on it. And some of you as adults are still acting on faulty data. And that's why you're constantly going through self-defeating lifestyles. You're your own worst enemy. We talk about how bad the devil is. The devil can't do anything but lie to you and deceive you. You're your own worst enemy. And you know why you keep doing the same old self-defeating patterns and habits? Is because you bought into some faulty data when you was a child, and an authority figure said to you, you're nothing, you're no good, why can't you be like your brother? You'll never amount to anything. You're clumsy. You're not smart. I have a pastor friend of mine, his mama told him, you're nothing. You'll never be nothing. You'll never amount to nothing. And he told me, he said, Wayne, can you believe I still hear her voice to this day? Blows my mind. Why would a United Pentecostal church mother tell her son that? That's crazy. You know why? Because death and life's in the power of the tongue. And if you're not careful, brothers and sisters, you can be 20, 30, 40, 50, even 60-year-old, and you can still be living off of faulty data. So you got to replace all of those old tapes with God's truth. God's truth. Does that make sense? Hey, well, you say, well, Pastor, how do I do that? Romans 12 and 2 tells us how to do that. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to change the way you think. Is it easy? No. Is it possible? Yes. Well, how do I do that? First, you pray and you ask God, God, would you heal my memory? If God can heal your body, He can heal your memory. God, would you heal my memory of all of that garbage and all of that faulty data and all that mess I heard when I was a child? Would you heal my mind of all of that? Second thing, the more we fill our mind with God's truth, the more we start erasing old tapes. And then the third thing is we believe the truth about ourselves. You say, well, what is the truth about myself? Well, it's what God says about us. That's the truth about ourselves. Well, where can I find that out? You can find it in Ephesians 1 and 4. Here's what it says. Just as He chose us in Him before, say before, before the foundation of the world. What does that mean, Pastor? It means that He had you on His mind before He ever laid the foundation of the world. He already loved you. He already knew He was going to Calvary for you. Read it on. That we should be what? Holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, does that mean that we're actually that way? Does it mean we're actually that way? No, it doesn't. Because we know we still have sin in our life. We still have blame. We're not always holy. But the way the Lord sees us is when we're born again, He sees us as holy and without blame. You say, how can He do that? Because He looks through the lens of the cross and through the lens of love. How can you see your little spoiled brat as a little darling? Talk to me. How can you see your little Brad as a darling? How do you do that? I'll tell you how you do it. Other people want to snatch them up and say, if that was my child, I'd beat their rear. But you're like, oh, no, my baby, not my baby. You know why? Well, one, you're lying to yourself, but we won't go there. But the other reason is, is because you see them through the lens of love. That's how God sees you. He sees you as blameless. See, this is hard for us to believe. Man, I wish I had time this morning because I could work this. I could work this. What do you mean? Because here's why God wants you to stay away from sin. Because when you sin, you bring upon yourself condemnation. God doesn't condemn you. The enemy condemns you. God convicts you. The enemy condemns you. The reason why that He wants you, God, to stay away from sin is so that you don't stay under condemnation. Because then when you're under condemnation, you can't fulfill how He sees you to do what He called you to do. So you're saying, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I don't deserve this. You ought to have heard what my mama said about me. And then you're not living up to the potential that you can live up to. This is why God totally wants to set you free. He wants you to walk away from sin so that you can say, you know what? By the grace of God, I am holy. And by His grace, I am blameless. And by His grace, I have authority and power that He gave me through the power of the Holy Ghost. Does that make sense? Then you're able to walk as a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Why? Because you're no longer listening to those old tapes. I'm nothing. I couldn't do it right. I'm not coordinated. I'm dumb. I fumble around. No, you're now replacing it with, I am valuable. I am a child of God. God can use me. He loves me. I am blameless. I am holy. I am righteous in His sight, which means I am in right standing with God. All that just makes sense? Did I help anybody? Okay, so here's what psychologists say. They say that you always go back. Your self-esteem, self-worth, self-concept always goes back to who you feel like is the most important person in your life. So here's what I'm going to suggest. You make God the most important person in your life. And let Him constantly, through His Word, speak to you. So that you understand your value. Does that make sense? He's going to tell us the truth. God's going to tell us the truth. His Word's going to tell us the truth. So we have to decide, are we going to listen to people who told us lies in our past? Or are we going to listen to what Jesus Christ has to say about us? Number four, because I got to hurry. If you want to start being healed, you have to refocus. Say refocus. You have to refocus on the future. See, the enemy always wants you to get focused on your past. Look at what you did. Look at where you've been. Look at what you've done. You're nothing. God always wants you to refocus on where He's taking you. So you got to refocus. Get our attention off of our past and onto God's plan for our future. There's three things I want to show you about refocusing on your future. They're found in the book of Job, chapter 11. Now, this is going to be from a different translation because the King James Version is just a little ambiguous. So stay with me. Here it is. Put your heart right. That's the number one thing you got to do. Put your heart right. Number two, reach out to God and face the world again. This is a different translation. Then, if you do those three things, then all of your troubles will fade from your memory like floods that are past and remembered no more. So first thing, put your heart right. That means, what that means is give up. You got to give up your right to get even. I'm going to give up my right to get even. I'm going to release those who've hurt me. Forgive them whether they deserve it or not, because just know you didn't deserve to be forgiven. And most likely you're probably going to mess up again and don't deserve for God to forgive you, but He's going to if you ask Him. Does that make sense? Then the second it says reach out to God. We need to reach out to the Lord and start bringing good out of evil. And knowing that all things work together for the good of those who are called according to His purpose. Not all things are good, but all things can work out for good when you give that to the Lord. So don't withdraw. Don't pull back into a shell. Resume living and say, yeah, I know they said that, but that was then, this is now. I'm refocusing on my future, where God wants to take me. Make sense? Okay. Here's the next thing I know. I know no matter how hard we try, you're never, N-E-V-E-R, you're never going to get well by yourself. Not going to happen. If we could, we already would. But you can't, so you won't. You will not get well by yourself. That's why you need, and I know this is not necessarily a Pentecostal term, but it's a term we need to get comfortable with, and that is you need a support group. You need a life group. You need other people in your life. You need someone that you can get honest with. Because when people hurt deeply, they'll do almost anything to stop the hurt. They'll take a pill. They'll have a sex with a person they don't even know. They'll get drunk. They'll go stay hours in a casino. So how do you spell relief? Well, some spell it S-E-X. Some spell it D-R-U-G. Some spell it drink. Some spell it gambling. You know how I want you to spell relief? J-E-S-U-S. J-E-S-U-S. I've seen people on painkillers, been around long enough to see people addicted to painkillers. Let me just tell you something about painkillers. Three things. Number one, they don't last. Number two, they're addicting. And number three, they'll never solve the problem. So after you come down from that high, after you come down from that drink, after you come down from that affair, after you come down from that fling, after you come down from all of that, guess what? You're still going to feel ashamed. You're still going to feel bitter and angry and worthless. So I'm going to encourage you, stop going to quick fixes. Because that boyfriend is not going to heal you and that girlfriend is not going to heal you. A new house is not going to heal you. Only God can heal you. And so you say, well, how do I know, Pastor, when I've been healed? And this is the last point, and I'll let you go. Here's how you know you've been healed. It's in a physical wound, if you've had a deep wound, and it's not quite healed, and somebody just accidentally touches it, you know what you do? You flinch. You're like, I'm going to punch you. You're like, why? Because you just touched my arm, dude. What's wrong with your arm? Well, man, I had 47 stitches in it. Okay, so, but now give that a year and somebody put their hand on your arm and you don't flinch. You don't draw back. You know why? Because now it's totally healed. Okay, here's the difference, brothers and sisters. When you're totally healed, you know what you want to do? You want to take how you got healed, the cure for how you got healed, and you want to share it with others. And until you can do that, you're not totally healed. See, this is called ministry. Here's what I learned. I learned this. You don't want to take your pain and hide it in shame. Why? Because if you take your pain and hide it in shame, then no one else is comforted through it. No one else is blessed by it. Because people feel like, you know what, I can't do this. I can't make this. But if you, I've had people tell me about Glenn. Glenn is my hope. Now, I know what they meant. Christ is their hope, but I know what they meant. They said this, I know Glenn, and I know where he came from. I used to do X, Y, Z with him. And if he could stay clean, then maybe I could stay clean. See, this is called ministry because we need one another. And when you hide your pain and shame, then nobody else gets the gain. So I don't know if I believe you. Well, then check this out. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 1 and 4. And this is our last verse. Here's what it says. God comforts us every time we have trouble. So what? So when others have trouble, we can comfort them with the same comfort that God has given us. In other words, it really does make a difference when you can slip up alongside somebody and say, now, I don't know exactly what you've been through, but let me tell you something. I've been through this, and this is how God brought me out. And I'm here to tell you, if God can bring me out, he can bring you out. And God brought me through, and here's how he did it. You know, when you're really excited about a new restaurant, you tell other people. When you're excited about something you found out, man, I found out this really works, you tell other people. And when you're totally healed, you know what you're going to do? You're going to take that as ministry, and you're going to use it for the benefit of others. I hope that's helped you this morning. Let's stand together. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter the scar and doesn't matter the sin. Doesn't matter how you fail. Somewhere along the way, there's healing for your life today. It can start today. Don't have time to rehearse those 5 points, but go back and look at those 5 points. I've got to reveal my hurt. I've got to get honest with myself, with God, and with someone else. I've got to release others so that I'm not saying I'm going to get revenge. Because here's what the Bible says. I didn't touch this scripture, but here's what it says. It says, lest the root of bitterness is on the inside of you and defiles many. What does that mean? Bitterness not only defiles you, it defiles everybody around you. You got to be willing because that root bears fruit. It bears all kind. That root of bitterness bears all kind of fruit. Hate, resentment. And if you don't get that root, well, how do I get that root? You ask God, go right inside of my heart and just take that old root of bitterness out. I release them. I forgive them. I set them free. Y'all got to thinking about Haman. As I preached on Haman last week, I got to thinking about Haman. And if you think about it, think about this real quick. Haman focused on the one thing he didn't have, which was Mordecai bound down to him. And because he made that his entire focus, it actually cost him his life. Now, in the scripture, it talks about how he bragged about his kids, his wealth. He bragged how he was the only one that went to the banquet. Nobody else got to go. He bragged about everything. But he says, after I've thought about all that, none of that means anything because this wicked Mordecai won't bow down to me. Now, why'd you just tell me that, Pastor? Here's why. Because you know what? Most of the time we do, we get focused on a loss in our life. And we stay so focused on that. And who did me wrong? And how they betrayed me and what they said to me. We get so focused on that, that we don't forget those things that are behind us and press on. We stay locked right in there. And we start living a very bitter life. Then people don't want to be around us because everybody's... It's everybody's fault and nobody's trustworthy and nobody's good and everybody's... Because we focus on the one thing that we don't have, and the enemy makes it this big deal in our life. And Jesus could have stayed focused on all those people that crucified him, and yet he never deserved to be there. But the thing he did is he said, Father, I forgive them. Why? Because that's the only way you're going to be healed. Would you bow your head? I want to pray over you before you go. Thank you, Lord. Because your word tells us only you.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.